our life is not just given to us for pleasure. Our life is given to us as a tool by which God can be seen. There are three purposes for which you have life. The first is that through you, let God be known. It was Jesus that gave us the clearest perspective to that. Jesus said, Philip came to him and said, "Show us the Father that we may see him." Jesus said, "You mean you've been with me all this while and you do not know the Father?" He said, "Whoever have seen me have seen the Father." That's the meaning of life. You think the meaning of life is God give me a car? Car is necessary because you need car to do the will of God. Yeah. I love cars. I will have cars. I will even have planes. By the grace of God. So, the meaning of life is not just unto yourself. Everything you have is for the purpose of advancing the cause of God. So the first thing that life does is that men should see you through God. In fact, if you come to a place, after a while, people should come and consult you with their problems. If that thing is not happening to you yet, go and pray. That God you carry is only in your spirit. And we are not sure of it. Yes. Because the only assurance you have is that you call Jesus Lord. But the Bible said, some will come to him and say, "Lord, Lord," and he will say, "Away from me." So if your only assurance is because you call Jesus Lord, be careful. You know what the Holy Spirit told me? He said, "Whatever grace you teach that cannot explain the book of Revelation is not accurate." He said, "Go back and review it." If you study the Bible carefully, you understand that immediately the gospel ended. Everything in the New Testament is the gospel. I'm just using traditional terms now. The Pauline epistles talk so much about grace. In fact, Paul mentioned grace 93 times. And he mentioned works 34 times. But as you begin to drift towards Revelation, grace begins to reduce. Work begins to increase. Because in the kingdom, there is a reward system. That reward system is not based on grace. It's based on works. So John mentioned grace 6 times and he mentioned works 34 times. So you need to study the Bible like that. So you know what is the emphasis of God per dispensation. Are we together? So the first thing is what? For your life to reflect God so that God can be known. God is not only known through the Bible. Paul said we are written epistles. We. If you come to a place, people should know that God has come. They should know. I was in a Catholic school teaching Mount St. Gabriel. They say Angelus 12, 6, they attend Mass twice a week. But students came to me and said, "Sir, I am into masturbation." I was shocked to know that students of 15 years were already homosexuals for 3 years. That means they began homosexuality at the age of 13. So it is not about religion. It's about the courage of the spirit. What is the spirit that you carry? Paul said, "Henceforth know we no man after the flesh." You may be forming man of God in the church. We are not called to shine in the church. Every one of us here is light. We are expected to shine in a dark world. So if your light is not seen, what kind of light do you have? The first purpose of life is that God should be seen through you. And it takes a lot of labor for that to happen. Because God is locked up in your spirit. For God to break into your soul, you must labor by grace. So that your soul is cracked. Your walls become the walls of God. Your expressions become the expressions of God. Your character becomes the character of the Spirit of God. It takes labor. It's not the grace that you have in your spirit that makes that happen. It's the grace that teaches your soul that makes that happen. How many of you have people walked up to say, "Help me. Help me." God is not seen through your life. Reinhard Bonnke said he walked into a supermarket to buy something. And the seller looked at him and began to cry. I was shocked when he said it. Because I was amazed. I thought he was going to ask the guy, what happened? And Rabbonke said, he asked the Lord, why is he crying? What? Somebody is in front of you crying. Do you mean he's quicker to ask God? When I heard it, I was like, wow. Do I know God? You mean something happens here now? Instead of me asking Reverend Hughes, bro, what happened? Then I'll say, God, what happened? Wow. But that's not my emphasis. Let me not deviate from my message. What I'm trying to tell you is that on a very casual basis, God could be seen through people. So it's not when you handle the mic. You see, the glory of God can be seen. In the Old Testament, it's called the Shekinah. When it appears, it has characteristics. It confounds men. It judges iniquity. It convicts men. It was spoken of men like John Knox. He will enter into a place and people begin to cry for their sins. Because God had come tangibly. That's the first purpose of life. Let God be known through you. Your swag, your coordination will end in the grave. The only thing that lives forever is the immortal personality that you trapped in your soul. That is what carries your soul into eternity. It carries it. That's the difference between you and a goat. The goat does not have a spirit that will ferry his soul into the realm of God. He's not an immortal being. But you that have God, you are an immortal personality. What will carry your soul through the divide of life and death is the spirit of God that you have trapped in your soul. I was in church last Sunday when Reverend Hughes told us, he said, not everybody will stay at close proximity to God because there are people who cannot handle glory. If you don't know how to touch glory on earth, you can't touch it in heaven because your soul does not have the resilient capacity to touch it. Your life by grace should mirror God. God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, has in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. That was the characteristic of Jesus. When Jesus showed up, you don't need to ask him. You just see God coming because he reflected him. He reflected him. It's not a function of preaching. He saw two people fishing. He said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. They left their fathers. They left their business. You think it is ordinary talk? That is God passed out in wars. Because your wars are gateways through the realms. Follow me. He met a tax collector. He said, follow me. A tax collector? That's the most lucrative business at that time. It's like somebody walking in Chevron. And you just enter Chevron. Maybe you are Tata. And you say, come with me. And he leaves Chevron. You must carry God. That's what grace does. People must see God through you. Life is not just, you go sin today, you come tomorrow, say, I'm sorry. Oh, you are trapped in a crucible of iniquity. Your life will be short-circuited. Because every time you sin, what you do is that you give the devil a gateway into your life. Some of the demons you allow into your life through immorality. Even if God forgive you, even if you repent, you are going to follow a very long process of dealing in the spirit for your soul to be restored into that place where you can reject that iniquity. A long time. It's not a function of forgiveness alone. Every sin you expose yourself to, God will have to process you again and again, again and again. Because the bitter part of it is that what God wants to do through you can be delayed. You are the one affected. Where he's living, there's no time. So there's nothing like lateness with God. He doesn't know delay. There's no time. And he's the ageless one. He doesn't grow old. He's the way he was the day he created the world. And even if you fail, another David will rise again. Another person will rise again. If God is kind to you, it may be the next four generations after you. But you would have missed out. You would have missed out of your calling, of your purpose, of your rank in the spirit. Imagine if the 12 apostles failed. Do you know the glory that they have? The Bible said when the new Jerusalem shall descend, it said their names shall be written on the 12 pillars. So in the world to come, the apostles, they are going to be signatures
signatures on that kingdom, because their life is the foundation of that kingdom. He said the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb shall be written on the pillars. That's glory. That's honor. Those things cannot be raised from the sands of immortality. 12 apostles. What if they failed? Do you know where your name was designed to be written? The Bible said at the end of all things, Jesus said he's going to give us a new name. He said that name no man shall see it. That is our recognition. That's our designation in the world to come. Some of you are supposed to be apostles. Some of you are supposed to be written as national revivalists. You shape the economy of your world. You change the topography of the spirit. But you failed because you sacrificed your future on the altar of pleasure. It is when you appear in eternity, even if you don't lose your salvation, you will weep in eternity. Because when you see the glory that was meant for you, you will realize that you never lived. Miles Monroe said he went to a tomb and he saw names of people. 1974, 1975. And he said, Lord, who are these people? And the Holy Ghost told him, they never lived. They passed through time, but they didn't live. They didn't live. They could not even scratch their calling. Kenneth Hagin said, it was after 13 years of ministry that God told him, you have entered into the first phase of your prophetic call. 13 years. Imagine if he didn't enter. You are here being deceived that you have forgiveness. And then you do what you want. You don't understand the higher matters of the kingdom. In the kingdom, you and I are supposed to stand on the corridors of immortality. We are supposed to become pillars. Pillars. References are supposed to be made to you. The life of some men have become dispensational landmarks. It said concerning John in Luke 16:16. He said, until the time of John, the kingdom of God suffered violence. When Jesus began his ministry, he said the kingdom of God began after the baptism of John. John's life was not just what you and I are living. John is a dispensational marker. Every time heaven wants to make reference to grace, the life of John is what represents the end of the kingdom. His life is what represents when grace began. That man is not a human being. He's an immortal personality. He had become one with the God that lived on his inside. So everywhere John came, the Bible said, even Herod, when he wanted to listen to the word of God, he went to hear the voice of John. You can't deny him. When they came to meet him, they said, who are you? He didn't say, I'm a doctor. He didn't say, I'm a lawyer. He said, I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Prepare a way for the Lord. I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. His identity was what was written concerning him before the world began. I'm the voice. I'm the voice. Who are you? Who are you? You take pride in calling yourself a lawyer. Law ends in time. Law ends on earth. I'm a doctor. Doctoring. Nursing ends on earth. But there is something that transcends time. It is a signature of immortality. I am an apostle of God. I'm a revivalist. I'm a custodian of truth. I'm a witness of the world to come. I have touched the powers of the life to come. I'm not a mere mortal. I am one who will stand in the corridor of the immortals. Who are you? We are supposed to be the reflectors of God. You have failed until now, but the kingdom of God has come. Grace is the outworking of divinity in humanity. If you want to latch on to grace tonight, there is a ticket for you. I can't complete my message. You see, the angels have come. The angels have come. The angels have come. I can't complete my message. The angels have come. Rise to your feet. The angels have come. We can't talk again. We can't talk. Talk is over. The angels have come. They want to stir your heart. They want to stir your heart. They want to stir your heart. Talk to God now. Perhaps you were a puppet in the hands of the devil. But right now, the immortals are calling. The immortals are calling. The immortals are calling. The immortals are calling. Speak in other tongues. Rapata kapota baha. Hombra sapetoa. Lahua, lahua. Homele kapasuna. Ibra manusko paratoa. Erikamboros ke matalia. Balaka patoa. Balaka patoa. Balaka patoa. Balaka patoa. Into sabrakatoma. Maletro sabrenda kapata. Oh, Rataka Babelo Bobosata. Oh, Braseko Bela Taila.